and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. In September of 1969, Jim Tarbell's Ludlow Garage opened. Some of that era's biggest rockers came to play. Alice Cooper, Santana, The Kinks, The Allman Brothers. And within about 18 months of its launch, the place was gone. But its 50th anniversary will be celebrated this weekend. And here to reflect on that time, our former Cincinnati City Councilman and Ludlow Garage founder, Jim Tarbell. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you.
It's your first time on the show since I started hosting.
It is. So. I got to stop giggling here because it's too much fun being here with you, having seen you accede to the throne here on this particular format. This particular program has been such a great thing for the city, and having you behind the mic is really, really a treat. Thanks.
Well, we'll return to your accolades towards me in just a moment, but let me introduce the other two guests who are on the show as well. I appreciate that. On the phone with us, we've got longtime radio personality and Play It Forward Cincinnati founder, Gary Burbank. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. It's a thrill to talk to you. I'm so glad you could join us. And
stop giggling.
How can I stop giggling with you on the line?
I know, it's going to be hard to do.
It's been a while, yeah.
Okay, we've also got on the line graphic artist and owner of Mad Max Graphic Design Company, Jeffrey Seerveld. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you.
All right, so I didn't know about the Ludlow Garage until we started to prepare for this segment. And Jeff had reached out about this, and I thought, man, no, we definitely have to do this segment. Look at all the people who were involved. Look at the history that it had. Jim, let's just start. Take us back to 1969. We just celebrated the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, and I know a lot was going on with music in that period. Mm-hmm. What were you doing with this project?
Well, you know, it's very complicated in a really nice way, and the original idea was to have a community center of sorts, you know, just to kind of deal with all the changes that were going on in the 60s. And you could see a lot more change and some confusion coming. So I just had this crazy idea of having a community center with music as the centerpiece. Art show, gallery, some discussions, some debates, whatever. Well, All that went by the wayside as soon as the first guitar was struck, you know, strung, I should say. The music just went right to the top, and I wanted it to be the main catalyst for getting people together, keeping them together. But could I have predicted that it was going to go so wonderful the way it did? I don't know. But I just was holding on that whole time, just trying to keep track, you know, just trying to keep in touch. And it was a golden era that all of those groups became available in a small club format, albeit for a very short time. But it was so incredible while it lasted that what can you say? I mean, what can you say is we got a 50th anniversary.
Yeah, you definitely, you're going to celebrate that. And we're going to talk about this coming up. It is Saturday, August 17th, this weekend, noon to 9 at Season Good Pavilion. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But usually you were trying to get a community center with music. And when I think about that, it's like, well, we'll have a nice little place, maybe some student artwork. We'll have the high school oboist come in and play a little tune for us. But again, Santana, The Kinks, The Allman Brothers, Alice Cooper. How did you get those connections?
We made a lot of phone calls, I can tell you that, and did a lot of reading and a lot of listening. And, you know, I was a music fan from as a kid. You know, I was, maybe Gary will remember having an Arvin radio by your bedside where at night the signals all changed and you got blues, rhythm and blues, gospel, country that you couldn't get on AM radio here during the daytime.
Is that something you remember too, Gary?
Oh, yeah.
Gary may be too young for this.
Down in Nashville.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly
it. And you're pulling all this in. Let me tell you, Jim, too, about that. I was in Louisville at WAKY about the time you guys were doing all this, and we were just astounded with the name groups that are being there. We think it's some kind of huge, you know, 50,000-seat place, you know, what you're bringing in. And I never made it up myself because I was, I don't know, I just couldn't find my way around very well then. for some reason. But it was just had a great reputation throughout.
And Jeff, you have some experience with the Ludlow Garage. Tell us what your role is.
Or was.
Yeah, you were there, right?
Yes, we were a group community kids, sort of the, I'm a little bit more eclectic group of kids that hung out together. Some were musicians, some were artists, you know, wannabes. And I was aware of the Hyde Park Teen Center prior to the Leather Garage, another venture of Jim's community efforts. And when I heard about this through a friend of ours who ultimately became the sound man there, one of the sound men, we rounded up our group and said, hey, this is going to be a really cool thing. Looks like it's going to be a lot of music and a lot of fun. So we signed up as the crew and became, you know, the cleanup crew, the whatever crew.
The reserve team.
To run, yeah, to just make things go during the shows, before the shows, and cleaning up afterwards. And, you know, we learned how to work together as a team, and, you know, we came up with ways of working out problems and stuff like that as young teenagers. We worked with tradesmen in building the place, so we learned a lot in spite of our rebellious attempts to be, you know, involved in rock and roll. With that connotation,
Jeff was at the
a lot of work.
He was at the feet of some all stars in who were also in the making then, but just not a full generation older, but a bit older, and guys who were kind of pros in their own regard. And Jeff and company, that I call the Brainiacs of Clifton, you know, were able to rub elbows with those guys and sort of proteges of theirs. And Jeff has gone on to become an extraordinary artist, a designer, graphic designer, working with all kinds of people, but including musicians and doing recordings and all of the sort of the cacophony that goes with the recording business from an artistic point of view. And
he also helped out a whole lot with Play It Forward. I mean, every time, you know, we've needed anything. Any help in his field, he's always been there.
And Gary, we want to talk about that because Play It Forward is the beneficiary of this weekend's concert, the Ludlow Garage 50th Anniversary Reunion Show on Saturday. What is Play It Forward, Gary?
Well, you know, as you said, I was the founder, I kind of found it on the air one day. Larry Goshorn would come up, and I was doing that. I did this character called Howlin' Blind Muddy Slim, your 60-minute Jelly Belly Toe Jam, man. And so I'm doing
Stop this. It. We're trying to get serious here.
but you know, I had worked with Jimmy Reed, and actually it was a caricature of Jimmy Reed. I was a drummer back in those days and a musician myself. And, like, you know, you look on the stage and you see this guy with this beautiful amp, two or three beautiful guitars, and you think, boy, these guys are really rich. Watch what they loaded into when they're leaving that night. Some beat up old Toyota or something, you know, from way back. But Larry was, he'd been coughing for about a month. And I said, man, you need to see a doctor. And he said, I can't. I can't go see a doctor. Why not? He said, because I can't afford it. And I'm thinking, here is, you know, maybe the best known musician, probably was in town, still is maybe. And everybody loved the guy with Pure Prairie League and all of that. And how can this come about where, and I had experienced it myself, you know, when I know that I played on a couple of sessions, and one was a hit record and the other was pretty close to it. And I'm thinking, I got $52. You know, somebody's making some money off this, it's not the drummer. And so, you know, musicians give up the training. There's a lot of work involved. And I just thought if there was some sort of organization. So we all met. And Larry Goshorn, Marco Sastre, a few other guys too, Jim Hunt. And we just started talking about it. If we had an organization, and Bill White, who used to work at the country station in town, you guys might remember him. Bill said, I've got a name for this place. It's perfect. And he played off of Pay It Forward, you know, that was sort of the acronym going around at the time. And he said, we'll call it Play It Forward because we're playing music. And I thought, well, that's genius. And it turned out to work, though, and I think we've been able to help a lot of people. And, you know, it's just a good thing, I think, all the way around for musicians in town.
Yeah, well, that's really great. And Jim, I want you to kind of set the scene for the Ludlow Garage back in the late 1960s, and I guess the early part of 1970 when you were around. What did it look like in there?
It was a mess. It had been a car dealership back in the 30s, and that's really where the name came from. When I was doing a little due diligence research on its history and came up with that name as its part of its history, and I thought, well, that's cool. Let's just bring that forward, play it forward, and use that as the name of this club. And but it had devolved to the point where it was a resting place for a business that did garbage pickup. So what do you think? It was not pretty. And so really, literally every square inch of the building, which is 20,000 square feet, needed to be redone. And that's where the Brainiacs played a big part, too. They was, you know, got their old rooms going. And so one thing led to another, and we ended up with a really, really beautiful place for music upstairs, which is where the right now is where the hardware store is, and the new garage is downstairs. And downstairs was concessions and dressing rooms and office. So we had 10,000 square feet of playing space, and all newly refurbished, you know, with a rustic brick interior and a high ceiling skylights, and then decorated it with this. I found a special on Persian rugs, new imitations, and that played a big part in kind of making it more comfortable. We built some super graphic. The goal here was to design an atmosphere that's kind of take you out of your ordinary world and put you with Alice in Wonderland. So super graphic chairs, the rugs, a lot of candles. It was special. When you walked in the room, you thought, this is different. Well, then the music started.
Yeah, and so some of the larger venues opened up or started to take away these acts, and the garage couldn't compete?
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. I mean, it was my whole idea was to have something that was manageable, that was intimate, you know, that where you could really appreciate the music. It's one of the reasons why we didn't have alcohol, because I just wanted the attention on the music. A lot of attention to the sound system. And
the good thing about that is that you have some good quality sound. Jeff, I understand that some of the sound has survived.
Yes, we have some of the original tapes. Some has been released, and we're working on another set right now to be released later after this show, that we can add some tracks from it and have a 50-year sort of anthology. Allman Brothers album certainly comes to mind that was produced there. That tape still exists, and United Artists just released that on vinyl. And Jim actually forgot our bathrooms in the Alice part. Our bathrooms were somewhat spectacular, as bathrooms go.
Even though there was no alcohol, the people seemed happy.
Yeah, I don't know what that was, Gary, but
I'm not sure either.
The bathrooms, though, were one was a super graphic Quaker State oil can, and the ladies' room was the super graphic Pennzoil oil can, about 10 feet high and 6 feet in diameter. And you could take care of your business there.
And was it a literal can, or was there actually, there was plumbing, right? I mean, there
Yeah. This old schoolhouse.
where the can comes from.
It all originated there. All goes back to Clifton.
But just so you know, the scene was changing almost as from day one. And there was a part of it wasn't so pretty, and that was how the prices were just getting out of control. And eventually, after almost a couple of years, the writing was on the wall. You either acceded to U.S. Bank Arena and monster arenas like that, or you just went somewhere else with your marbles, you know. And I had no desire to get involved in those big arenas. It was a small club. It was a community center or not. Coincidentally, that led to Arnold's, but well, that's a whole other ballgame.
You own Arnold's, you know, the oldest business in Hamilton County, a great restaurant and bar still downtown. So you've had your hands on a lot of cool pieces of local history, in addition to serving a long time in the city government. And Gary, working in radio in that period, I mean, you must have seen this transition from the intimate clubs that people would play to more arena-style rock.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of amazing. I know that when I was with out of Memphis with the Marquees, and we had I was one of the 375 original Marquees, and we were like playing, and I couldn't imagine having a roadie, you know, help carry my drum. I would say Charlie Freeman was, you probably remember him, was the lead guitar player. And Charlie was sitting there having a drink one night. I said, hey, man, how about a little help here? He said, you picked your instrument. And then, okay, now let's say, all of a sudden now I'm seeing these guys walk around like you know, His Majesty. And he, I guess, earned it for what was coming around that day, but it did change a lot, yeah.
So we have the Ludlow Garage 50th Anniversary Reunion Show at the Season Good Pavilion. It's Saturday from noon
this,
to 9.
This Saturday,
August 17. Still trucking. You've got Rick Derringer on the lineup, the Hang On Sloopy fame. You've got Tracy Nelson, the Bluebirds, Rob Fetters, Warsaw Falcons, Haymarket Riot, Robin Lacey, and Desire to Go, and some others. And that should be
Rob Fetters.
A really good show that you have coming up.
Great music. I mean, just great music.
Yeah, a lot of people who are returning. And
It's free.
And it's a free concert. And all the proceeds, though, from however you're making money is going to Play It Forward. So, Listen, we do appreciate all of you. It was a thrill to talk to you, Jim Tarbell, about this project. Gary Burbank, a real great honor to have a radio legend join the show today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And also graphic designer Jeffrey Searveld. Appreciate your time as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. You can find archives of our program and more details about the Ludlow Garage 50th Anniversary Reunion Tour at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. I'm Michael Monks.
Thank you.